This is the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 3B, page 1197, and we've been dealing with the first creative hierarchies, the divine flames, the first of the manifested creative hierarchies, here the unmanifested, but these manifested creative hierarchies, the divine flames, ruled by the sun, veiling either Vulcan, let's say, or Uranus, the color orange of the first and fifth ray, using this supreme energy of Parashakti. Para means beyond, and the supreme energy of the cosmic physical plane. But they all have some kind of building magnetic energy connected with them. They seem to have their origin, a number of these, the higher ones, on the cosmic astral plane, because if you think about it, if the human beings of the previous solar system were liberated onto the cosmic astral plane in order to pursue solar and angelship on Sirius, at least we have to make the assumption that the cosmic astral plane was involved, then these, and these, that hierarchy of returning Nirvanese is working here in the fifth area, then these other and higher creative hierarchies must certainly have had their monads liberated onto the cosmic astral plane, or who knows, at least the cosmic astral plane, and then perhaps localized there, although refocusing in service on the cosmic physical plane. And that's what I want to say about the fifth creative hierarchy and all of these higher creative hierarchies, that they have their monads on a higher level, it seems to me, but they refocus in service on the lower plane. And so in a sense, they are fallen onto the cosmic physical plane. We human beings have fallen. Only we have fallen into the three worlds. It's a different kind of fall. Our monad is in the cosmic etheric levels, but in terms of our expression, we have fallen into the dense physical planes. These higher of the creative hierarchies have fallen, but only into the cosmic etheric planes when their true home is on the cosmic astral plane. And if we want to say, and look at the level of sacrifice, if, you know, I try to follow out what seems to me to be indicated, that the solar angels have a double fall, because perhaps their higher principles and their monad is altogether on the cosmic astral plane, and not only have they fallen into the cosmic etheric plane, where you, in a way you can see a kind of solar angelic focus here, but they also are working within the cosmic physical. So this is the cosmic etheric, this is the cosmic physical. It's kind of a double fall of the solar angels, a quite amazing, amazing if true. You know, Mary Bailey always used to joke that her husband Foster Bailey would frequently make the comment when things were said to him, or when things were printed in the newspaper, interesting if true. So, of many things that I am trying to speak of here, we can say the same. Interesting if true, but I can only put out these thought filaments, these thought tendrils, these thought links, looking for their proper constellation. I keep on wanting to talk about that. Thought links, searching for their proper configuration or constellation. I have this Cancerian power of attachment. I hate to leave anything behind. But there are enough thought tendrils there. I mean, if this first creative hierarchy is really called Burning Suns of Desire, it says so. I don't know. It seems almost a mistake. But these are the words of the Tibetan, and they're not going to be a mistake. And here we gather Burning Suns of Desire as well under the second creative hierarchy, and they are not called divine flames. It's pretty clear that the first aspect is found here, and yet the magnetic power of the sixth ray is also found in its relation to the second aspect, and in relation to Leo, the second aspect sign of the fire signs. I sometimes wonder whether you couldn't also put Aries in the sea of fire, and you know, Taurus in the lighted monad, and Gemini in relation to the atmic plane. I mean, there are different ways of laying the lists over the planes. But for the moment, we just go with what we have. I mean, I'm not sure the Tibetan actually wrote this chart, but I think he may have been involved in suggesting how it might be gathered from what has been written in the secret doctrine before, and perhaps some of what he also wrote in the earlier books. The hierarchy number two, I remember I did a lot of work on the heart in the earlier commentary, so you can maybe go to that. It's closely allied with the great bear. And hence, maybe, the Buddhic placement of the seven rishis in chart number five. You know what I'm saying. You know, what are the seven rishis doing over here? You know, why are they on the Buddhic plane and not on the atmic plane, with which I think they have very strong association? Yes. Sometimes I think we're dealing with only questions that the Tibetan can answer, at least at this particular stage. Although specific concentrated study by more advanced students may be able to shed light here, they entered through the second ventricle within the sacred heart, and are, as we are told in the secret doctrine, the prototypes of the monads. Well, you know, you kind of want to copy something here, maybe copy the image, and we'll see what we get. It did copy, after all. Okay. So, in the four-chambered heart, such as that in humans, there are two ventricles. The right ventricle pumps blood into the pulmonary circulation to and for the lungs, and the left ventricle pumps blood into the systemic circulation through the aorta and is responsible for systemic circulation. See double circulatory system for details. Well, I'll leave that to the specifically Ray 5 types, and we do have some among us who are physicians and are very good in the question of anatomy and physiology and may be able to make the necessary analogies. So, closely allied with the Great Bear. Now, remember, this is kind of interesting because, we don't want that. That Leo, too, is closely allied with the Great Bear. Leo also is closely allied, at least contiguously, with the Great Bear. There's a heart function in Leo. Of course, its closer connection may be with the Little Bear, but in terms of space, when you look for the way to find Leo, you look from the lower part of the dipper or the cup of the Great Bear, and when you descend, or at least follow the bottom of the cup, the direction of the bottom of the cup, you will always find Leo in the sky. They enter through the second ventricle of the Sacred Heart. Now, this is the question, where is the Sacred Heart? And what is it? Is it the heart center of the solar logos? As that appears on the cosmic physical plane? Because think about that. You know, the solar logos does have a heart center, does it? Does it not? Wait a second. Do I have to go all the way? There we go. It does have a etheric heart center in the cosmic ethers. Where is that likely to be found? Well, My assumption has been that one of the okay, wait a second. One of the maps shows us that heart centers are generally found on second levels. Notice right here. Here's a heart center of a human being. Here's a heart center on the second ether. Here's a heart center on the second etheric aspect of the emotional plane. So heart centers are found on the second subplane. Well, what have we got here? We have a second subplane. We have here the monadic plane. And I've often wondered, even though we do hear that the etheric chakras of the planetary logos are found on the Buddhic level, I've wondered if that's true of all the chakras or whether there is a map. After all, DK gave us this map and we can extrapolate upwards. So they entered through the is the sacred heart, the heart center of the solar logos, as it appears on the cosmic, on the etheric levels of the cosmic physical plane. Perhaps on plane two, the monadic plane. And are, we are told, the prototypes of the monads. Now, I've always found that difficult. What are prototypes of the monads? This is the, because in a way, let's just see. What are the prototypes of the monads? Proto. And, it's here that one, in many ways, the planetary logoi are the prototypes of the monads. It's as if every planetary logos has its home, or every monad has its home within one of seven great centers in a planetary logos found upon the monadic plane. But, as I say, it's unlikely that we find here that these beings, I see, I think these beings, I think, provide the monadic vehicles of the human monads. In other words, just the way the triads, I think, the triple flowers, provide the triadal vehicles of those monads who are in that grouping that we call the triads or triple flowers. And what I'm wondering, is it possible? It is presumed. Is it possible? What do you know? Is it possible that there is a life which is the life of that planetary logoic chakra which contains billions of monads on a certain ray? In other words, if we were to go over here to this, we see on a very high level, just imagine that this, that these circles are down here, that we have seven groupings of monads for any particular planetary logos. And that somehow, just the way a great life ensouls all of these, each one of these circles, I call it a sub-para-Brahmanic logos, that's what I call it. Maybe has no relation to reality, but it's useful for me. See, one about whom naught may be said, I call these triangles, and they are like seven centers within a sub-para-Brahmanic logos, and then I find a cosmic para-Brahm has seven sub-para-Brahmanic logoses for chakras. I know it's a mind game, but you try to extend the analogy if you possibly can. So coming right down here within any particular planetary logos, there would be seven circles within a planetary logos. And I wonder whether there is a being who is all of the monads of a certain ray. I'll just put it here. Is there a being which forms a what we call monadic circle? And you would want to see, is it page 35 of, well, it's Peterson Cosmic Fire, let's see, Letters on Occult Meditation, where are we? There we are. And I'm just going to look here for 35X, and I'll be able to find it. Yes, page 39 is what it is. So we have seven great groups, seven great circles on the monadic plane. So every planetary logos has seven great groups. Every one of these triangles, which is, well, what is it? You know, it's representative of a planetary logos. Maybe each one of these triangles, let's say for any planetary logos, we can think of the planetary logo as manifesting particularly here, and you wonder, well, there are many things I wonder, but, you know, there's a different type of manifestation of a planetary logos than a solar logos. The solar logos is manifesting through the three persons of the Trinity, which are located here, and every planetary logos manifests through seven great circles, or maybe they're looked at as triangles here. And maybe when we talk about the prototypes of the monads, maybe each one of those circles is ensouled by a member of the second creative hierarchy. In other words, they say they are much higher than the monads, they are the prototypes. So if all the monads are found within one of these triangles or circles, however we choose to look at them, then perhaps the divine builders are the lives that contain billions of monads each of a certain ray. So just imagine that, well, you know, these might be the expressions of all the seven planetary logo, but within any one of them, consider that there might be seven circles, and the seven circles might be the lives of these types of divine builders. So how can I put that in some sensible way? Is it possible? Is it possible that the seven circles found on the monadic plane for any planetary logos each have a type of ensouling life, which contains all the monads on a certain ray or subray? Yeah, now we would have to extend that idea, and could these be the what's called divine builders? The life of those circles. And we would also look for the life which ensouls the three greater circles on the on the cosmic logoic plane. No, not cosmic logoic plane, but systemic logoic plane. And maybe they are subdividable too. You know, each one of these members of the Trinity is actually threefold. And different types of monads are found within each one. I'm off on a bit of a tangent here, but I wonder whether the lives of those interior circles could also be could also be the members of this divine flames. Well, you know, I'm in over my head. I'm sure we're in all in over our heads here a little bit. But, you know, there's something in me that's working very hard to make sure that when we talk about the second manifested creative hierarchy, we are not talking about aggregations of planetary logoi, but of aggregations of beings that are part of planetary logoi, but are not the full planetary logos itself. My statement is, and I don't know where to put it, is that the hierarchies of planetary logoi would be found on much higher cosmic planes, even though planetary logoi do have to reach down onto the cosmic physical plane, and they do have to have chakras on the cosmic physical plane. See, so the life of the logos is not the same as the life of the chakras in the logos. And I'm thinking prototypes of the monads, hierarchy two, are lives which are great lives which inform which inform seven great chakras of a planetary logos. Now, of course, where this could lead us is to connect with chain lords, because chain lords are chakras and globe lords are chakras too, and we've never found a way to place the chain lords and the globe lords particularly on any of the planes we have. We found a way to say, well, this is the lowest kind of globe in a chain. And as a result, it has matter of a certain kind which the other globes do not have, and those globes have matter of a lower kind which the still higher globes do not have. We found a way to do that. We've never found a way, at least in my view, to take a globe lord and say it doesn't have a monad. In other words, whatever the lowest vehicle of a chain lord may be, or a globe lord, it's got to have a monad. It's got, because they are lords, they have monads, you know. So even though they don't all share the lower vehicles in common, they all share the very highest vehicles in common. So I'm wondering what is that which ensouls planetary logoic chakras? What is that which ensouls solar logoic chakras? And in many ways, of course, the solar logoic chakras are ensouled by planetary logoi. It depends on which chakras we mean, because we have to differentiate the chakras, don't we? So, you know, we have to look at etheric chakras. They would be one type of entity. We might look at astral chakras, still another and still another. And probably along any particular line, all of them would be ensouled by a greater being. In other words, the etheric chakra of a solar logos, the astral chakra of a solar logos, the mental chakra of a solar logos, each one of those might be different beings, but if you put all the chakras together, there's one superior ensouling being of all of that line of chakras. So in a way, every chakra has its lord, and a collection of chakras has its lord, and a collection of the sub-chakras in a greater lord, and a collection of those lords of seven chakras, they have their lord as well. And we are kind of looking then at the globe, chain, and systemic structure. So maybe something about globe lords and chain lords enters into this question of the planetary hierarchies. They are actually said to be cosmic beings. Anyway, back to hierarchy number two. The second hierarchy is closely allied with the Great Bear. So the Great Bear has a monadic relation, to the seven major planetary logoi. And the planetary logoi have a monadic relation, and the planetary logoi have a monadic relation to the human monads. Human monads. So within any planetary logos, the human and deva monads are as cells, and they have to be found on a monadic level. They must be found on a monadic level of the cosmic physical plane. But this is a much lower correspondence to the location of the planetary logoic monads on the cosmic monadic plane. And let's see how I can do that. Cosmic monadic plane. Okay. Every time there's a bracket, you know, don't read sequentially, just read within the bracket, because I sometimes insert, and what is between the brackets is having to do with the sentence we're thinking about, but they don't necessarily run on logically one to the other. So related to the Great Bear having a strongly monadic function in relation to our solar system, and and in relation to our planetary logoi. We are told they entered through the central ventricle of the Sacred Heart. We've been saying, what is the Sacred Heart? Is it a kind of etheric heart center? Is it the etheric heart center of the solar logos? And does this hierarchy somehow nourish or bring life to the entire system? So let's ask that, because the heart, the left ventricle, through the aorta, and there's got to be an analogy, brings about systemic circulation. Does this hierarchy, creative hierarchy, bring life or circulation to the entire system? In this case, a solar system, because creative hierarchies are focalized within solar systems and are related to the solar logos first. Circulation. Okay, it's a few of those thought tendrils going out there. The prototypes of the monads, they provide, perhaps they provide vehicles for human monads, and perhaps they supervise, you might say, is there a being which informs a monadic circle? Is there a being which lives through collections of monads on the monadic plane. And maybe such beings are the beings of monads of the creative hierarchies, are the beings we call creative hierarchies of the or the second creative hierarchy. We call the second manifested creative hierarchy. Okay, second manifest creative hierarchy. All right. Well, there's a lot of... they are the source of monadic life, but they are not the monads. They are far higher. Now, maybe the word life has to be examined. Do these beings in creative hierarchy 2 in some way sustain or vitalize the monads? Because we are dealing perhaps with a heart vitalization function. After all, if the etheric heart center of the solar logos is found on the second level, and, you know, is this true of the planetary logos? I don't know. You know, sometimes you have to start moving down the planes. We might find that heart center located on the atmic plane and so forth. But anyway, there's definitely a heart center function here on the second plane, and that the heart center function brings life. So the heart center brings life and vitalization. So they are the source of monadic life, but they are not the monads per se. They are far higher. They are the lives which work through collections of monads, and I suppose of a certain ray type. So in a way, they are ray lives connected with the seven spirits or the throne. Seven spirits. There it is. Seven spirits before the throne, connected with the seven spirits before the throne, and naturally with the Great Bear as the source of the seven rays for our system. Well, you know, right here, this has puzzled me a long time. They are the source of monadic lives. They are not the monads, but they seem to be the lives working through collections of monads, aggregations of monads, ray aggregations of monads. They are lives working through ray aggregations of monads, and hence their relation to the Great Bear. The Great Bear is what's called greater sheep fold. And the little bear is the lesser sheep fold. Well, certainly a sheep fold full of monads is a greater one. But of course, if you really stop to think about the fact that the monads might liberate themselves from those seven circles and then go into three circles in those three great lives, which are the three persons of the Logoic Trinity, that might be still greater sheep folds. Anyway, thought tendrils, thought links, awaiting the constellating power of the intuition. All I can do is offer these links with an occasional constellation occurring. This hierarchy, which is literally the seventh, you know, we're counting down from the Pisces hierarchy, which is the first, is the influx into our system of those lives who in the first solar system remain on their own plane. See, what was their own plane? Now, certainly, they were higher than the human monads of that time, who were working on the lower planes and are now solar angels. Being too sinless and holy to find opportunity in that very material intellectual evolution. And what this means is they were sinless and holy even then. Now, in a way, they remained on their own plane. What did planetary logoi do? Planetary logoi seem to reach both higher and lower. Than the members of this creative hierarchy. So it seems to me that the members of this creative hierarchy are groupings within a planetary logos. The members of this creative hierarchy are groupings within a planetary logos and even smaller groupings within a solar logos. I do think, you know, that somehow the mystery of how we connect chain lords and globe lords to the map of the planes is going to be required at some time. I'm putting out things here, you know, that are far afield. I recognize this. And, you know, some of my thoughts are going beyond what I did just a couple of years ago on the creative hierarchies when I started to work in the esoteric astrology adventures. Obviously, this is going to be an incomplete picture, and we just have to live with this. It's, you know, we have our limitations as human beings, and, you know, I have to live with the limitations of my grasp here, even as I'm trying to present certain links that may lead you to have an intuitive constellating. Even in this solar system, which is less material, right, they will find it impossible to do more than influence the incarnating jivas. So this is what they do. But, you know, my question is, but do planetary logoi do this? Do solar logoi do this? Is it the planetary logoi that influence the incarnating jivas? I think we're dealing with lesser lives. And, you know, the thing I want to say here is let us one day find the way to relate globe lords and chain lords, no, chain lords to the map of the planes and to the listing of creative hierarchies. That is, I think, a missing factor, because they are intermediate beings, you know. They are not yet the full planetary logos. They are intermediate. And when we're told that groups of solar angels are breathed out to become planetary logoi, the question is, do they become planetary logoi immediately, or do they work their way up through the ranks, through some of these lesser types of manifestations? If you're on the path to the solar logos, aren't there a number of lesser spheres which you have to participate in and embody before being a solar logos or participating with many others as a solar logos? It would seem to me you would. Obviously, I feel I'm right against the limitations of my own mind in trying to grasp this, and I think to a degree against the limitations of the human mind, which will certainly improve in its grasp during the Aquarian Age and under the group influence. But speaking of this, imparting to them the ability to realize the nature of group consciousness. Now, this sounds an awful lot to me like what's called response to group vibration. And if we go here to one of the earlier maps, Keith has made a collection here, which is very useful. Keith Bailey from the Ancient Universal Mysteries. You know, I mention him often because he's done so much work here to give us a foundation. Notice response to group vibration is on the second level. This is on the level of soul, and it has to do with soul groups. But if we go back to these hierarchies, we're on the second level, or the monadic level. It's not down here on the mental plane where we're responding to soul group vibration. We're responding in a way to monadic group vibration. Imparting to them, i.e. the monads, ability to realize the nature of group consciousness, the quality of the seven heavenly men, which it implies, seems to be implied here, are not the members of this creative hierarchy itself. But not being able to express themselves fully. Some clue to this mystery will come if the student bears in mind that in our solar system and our seven planes, we have only the physical body of the logos. Well, let's call it, it's true, but for clarification, a rather physical body of the logos, okay, the physical body of the logos. Say, rather, the etheric physical body of the Logos, and that physical body is a limitation of the expression of his threefold nature. The first six hierarchy might be viewed as endeavoring to express the mental vibration of our solar Logos, hence the presence of the fifth ray sign, Leo. And the second, his emotional or cosmic astral nature. Okay, so, the impression comes to me that we are not speaking of solar logoi and planetary logoi per se, but of beings who work within them, attempting to bring certain of their principles into expression on the cosmic physical plane. You know, I probably am not going to succeed in divesting myself of that uncomfortable feeling that we could be actually speaking about the planetary and solar logo. This has been plaguing me now for 20 years, but the more I look at it, the more it seems that we're talking about beings within these logos. So the first hierarchy is very related to the solar logos and to the seventh initiation, which is very high in the solar logoic level and is related to the second ray, and the second is also his, the second creative hierarchy is related to the cosmic astral nature. Now, here's another thought. Maybe the three persons, persons of the logoic Trinity, three persons of the logoic Trinity. Ah, what do you know? I did that. Maybe the three persons of the logoic Trinity have a kind of cosmic mental focus, and the planetary logoi a kind of cosmic astral focus. The solar logos is a lion of cosmic will, and mind is related to will, of cosmic will. Lion of cosmic will. I've got it there. And the planetary logos is a dragon of wisdom. So the dragon of wisdom have a love and emotional focus. The lion of cosmic will has a mental will focus. So no question that there is a close relation between a creative hierarchy 2 and the planetary logoi. And creative hierarchy 1 and the solar logos. But of course, since the planetary logoi are part of the solar logos, then hierarchy number, then the planetary logoi are also going to be part of the solar logoic structure and not just in and of themselves. There are chakras within chakras, and as we know, a planetary scheme is a chakra. And within that scheme are lesser chakras called chains and chain lords, and within them are lesser chakras called globe lords. And unless we find the place for these particular lords in the hierarchy of being, we're really going to be missing something, especially since there's such a close relationship to, well, here, how can I put this? Close relationship between the solar angels and the planetary logo. In other words, here is a tabulation. Solar logoi, planetary logoi, chain lords, scheme lords, nope, supercosmic logoi, planetary logoi, globe lords, solar angels. The solar angels are related to all of these. Solar angels in their aggregates become planets, planetary logoi. But as I said before, don't you think they'd have to work their way up in their groups through a globe lord manifestation, chain lord manifestation, finally planetary logoic manifestation, and finally solar logoic manifestation? As I say, DK hints at so much, and we get these little flashes of possibility, but no way to work out the intricacies. So the planetary logo have a kind of emotional focus, in a way. They are generally those who have taken the second cosmic initiation along their line, at least at this time. Now you might say, well, if they take the third cosmic initiation, they become solar logo, but I don't think so. I think they have their own line. At the moment, it's the love energy which expresses more through them, and the will energy that expresses more through solar logoi. So, okay, this second creative hierarchy helps the solar logos express itself emotionally and is related to the cosmic astral plane. Very interesting. We have then the planet Jupiter related to the cosmic astral plane, and maybe Neptune too, connected with this second creative hierarchy. I've often thought it to be connected with the monad. I think it should be. And then Uranus connected with the cosmic mental vibration. It's almost like, in a way, when you look at the rulership of Leo, that the first creative hierarchy is Leo sub Uranus, and the second creative hierarchy is Leo sub Virgo. And of course, it's really ruled by Leo sub Neptune. I'm sorry, Leo sub Neptune. And Neptune is the link there with Virgo. It's a kind of a sphinx-like configuration. So the first creative hierarchy might be viewed as endeavoring to express the mental vibration of the solar logos on the cosmic physical plane. On the cosmic physical plane. That's important, cosmic physical plane, right? And the second, his emotional or cosmic astral nature, and I have to say, on the cosmic physical plane. So there's going to be a cosmic mental link. I mean, look, if the solar angels have a link to the cosmic mental plane and to some great cosmic mental deva, a solar angelic deva, then you can bet that there's going to be a link. This much higher hierarchy is going to have a link. The divine flames are going to have a link to the cosmic mental plane. Now it's telling us also that the burning sons of desire, interesting that this second group has that same name as was given to the first group, if that's not a mistake, I don't think so, they have a link to the cosmic astral plane. And, different things flash in the mind. But the monads on the monadic plane, in those big circles on the monadic plane, probably receive some influences from the cosmic astral plane because of the link that their prototypes have to the cosmic astral plane. The monads who have freed themselves and are found in the three great circles, each maybe with three circles apiece, on the cosmic logoic plane, maybe have some kind of stimulus coming down from the cosmic mental plane. This is not so far-fetched because the Buddha apparently had a cosmic touch, and that cosmic touch had to have been from the cosmic mental plane, whereas the Christ is expressing a cosmic aspect of love from the cosmic astral plane. Well, okay. I never know where these thoughts are going to lead. And I begin to think, that rather than necessarily organizing everything, I can provide links between things that other people with a more maybe organizational type of mind can put in their proper places. What is necessary with all of these thought filaments or thought links is that the intuition should be evoked somehow. These thought links are invocations for the evocation of the intuition which will constellate that to which the thought links refer, without the generator of the thought links necessarily knowing that they refer to those constellations, to those patterns which are real. This second or seventh cosmic hierarchy has for its force the second aspect. Ah, gosh. The second aspect of the seventh type of force from out the many. Well, I was looking for the second type of cosmic electricity working through, let's go back here for a moment and see if we can remember the kind of cosmic electricity that the first type had. Okay, the first type has the first aspect of the sixth type of cosmic electricity. Well, obviously, you would expect this next type to have the second aspect of the seventh type of cosmic electricity, the numbers 2 and 7 being present. He does express it differently, though, and we don't know whether he means the same thing. The second aspect of the seventh type of force from out the many. Well, because it's on the second plane, because they manifest on the second plane, naturally there's going to be the second aspect of something. And the seventh type of force from out the many, is the many the 12 that we have? Starting from the Pisces liberated hierarchy, this is the seventh, and so this is the seventh type of force, and do we have actually 12 type of forces? Some idea of the relative point of evolution of the solar logos may be gained by study of the varying aspects of force he is demonstrating in this particular incarnation. And I am thinking that these creative hierarchies are demonstrating these varying aspects of force. It is this energy which drives the monads through into physical incarnation, for it makes itself felt on the seventh plane. So there is a lower resonance from the seventh systemic plane, seventh systemic plane, to the second plane, which is really housing or focusing the seventh creative hierarchy. Seventh creative hierarchy. In other words, you see how it works. The picture's worth a thousand words here. Basically, what we have here is this is the seventh creative hierarchy on the second plane, and this is the 12th creative hierarchy on the seventh plane. But the sevenness of the hierarchies is resonant with the seventh plane. Here, the sixness of the first creative hierarchy is resonant with the sixth plane, and hence perhaps the appropriateness of the term burning suns of desire. I'm realizing, friends, that what I'm trying to say here, or what I'm allowing to be said in a flow of thought that comes through me rather than planning it exactly, is more complicated maybe than what I said before in the esoteric astrology section. There are more thought links going out here. I guess what's important is to realize that this whole thing is a magnificently beautiful, coherent system. And as much as we're trying to piece things together through a glass darkly, as it were, not seeing clearly what the intuition could reveal of the great configurations which are divine purpose, as much as that happens, we are on our way towards that beauty of vision, the beauty of the divine vision, to which the great second ray gives access. That is what is actually happening. Okay, the energies which are functioning are those which the Logos has unfolded and are the gain of previous incarnations. So, again, this is not the Logos. This is not his greatest chakras, the planetary logoi, but are lesser energies which the solar logos has unfolded in previous incarnations. Notice the plural. Sometimes, if this was just the second solar system, he'd say there was a previous incarnation. This is incarnations. He's had four incarnations before this present incarnation. Gaps necessarily occur, and certain types of force are lacking because he has as yet much cosmically to do. So in studying these hierarchies, creative hierarchies, Christ Spirit, no, sorry, creative hierarchies, we are learning about what he, the solar logos, has unfolded through certain types of entities and aggregations of entities. Also learning about what has to be added to his causal body on the first plane, on the Oh, first plane. No. The first plane, I'll get it, of the cosmic mental plane. So there are hints here, these are energies which the solar logos has unfolded and are the gain of previous incarnations. These energies, the energies which the solar logos, which are functioning and which the solar logos has unfolded. This sounds quite different to being the planetary logoi. They are not referred to as energies which the solar logos has unfolded. So basically, I'm always interested in hierarchy. I'm always interested in the greater and the lesser, the high and the low, the spiritual status of any entity within cosmos, because it shows his or its function. So, I've been puzzling here about the relationship of the hierarchies of planetary logoi, hierarchies of solar logoi, compared to the creative hierarchies that we are talking about, because there definitely are links here. But what I'm trying to establish is that, and I hope correctly, that these spiritual hierarchies are actually lower beings, lower energy beings included within the life demonstration of solar logoi and planetary logoi. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to break off and say, the divine androgene in the seven. I'll break off here, and I'll say that this is the end of a Cosmic Fire webinar commentary, number 3B, 3B, page 1198. We're kind of going one page at a time here, and beginning of Cosmic Fire webinar commentary 4A, page 1198. That will have to be sufficient for the moment, and I'm running just a little bit over on each one of these, but not too bad. I think it can still be put on YouTube, reasonably. Okay, friends, we'll see you soon, and we're in really cosmic subjects, which are certainly open to misinterpretation by the illusions of the mind. So, I certainly don't have a mind from which all illusion has been dispelled, not at all. And hopefully what I'm trying to present to you is disillusioned, is lacking as many illusions as possible, given my own state of apprehension. And, maybe you can catch a hold of a thread that I suggest and say, hey, it really shouldn't be tied to that which you said. It should be tied to this, and get your own constellation prompted by the intuition, your own pattern of reality coming into focus through the propulsion of the intuition. Okay, let me go on when I can. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.